Bit weird, because as you know, in our church we preach first, then we sing a couple of songs, and then you have time to ask me questions and see if you can make the pastor squirm. So they got done preaching, they sang a song and everybody left, and I was like, wait a minute, I wanted to ask the pastor some questions. And so I'm glad to be home, even if I do means that I'm not on vacation anymore. But you know, you got to take what you can get, right? But I told Rich that I hoped he brought his asbestos underwear today, because I tell you what, I've been gone for a week and I'm ready to bring it. I'm not going to do that, but we are going to take a look in Ezekiel chapter 36, and we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to be the people of God. In that, the key idea that I want to echo what the Word of God says is that as the people of God, our job is to bring God glory, not shame. So we, the people of God, are supposed to bring glory to God, not shame. All right? Now I want to start off today with Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, which is in the Ten Commandments, and it's on the board, and it says that you shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, you'll remember that a couple of years ago, as I was confronted with this, and that the historical understanding of this that I had was wrong. This doesn't say that if you take a hammer and you hit your thumb with it and you say, God damn, that suddenly you're worthy of the conviction of the Lord. There's other scriptures in the Bible that say to be careful how you talk about Jehovah God, but that's not what this verse talks about. What this verse is somebody who stands up and says, I believe in Jehovah, or I'm a Christian, but yet they don't really believe or they don't really act like it. Those people who falsely claim God, beware, because God will not hold you blameless. And that's the whole idea of, as God's people, we are to bring him glory, not shame. And so I want to start with a little bit of the history of Israel, okay? If you remember, Israel was chosen by God, and they weren't Israel when they were chosen. Does anybody remember how they were chosen? There was that one guy who had a lot of kids who did this, right? Father. Whew, I'm glad you guys are with me. All right. God chose Abraham, called him out of the land that he was living, and brought him to the promised land. And in that, he made a covenant with Abraham. He said, I will be your God and you will be my people. And he gave them the sign, anybody? Of circumcision. Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. You're just embarrassed, right? People kept talking about they gave him a sign. If you were going to be a follower of God, if you were going to be a person of God, if you and your family were going to honor God, then you were circumcised. And you read through the stories of that, and it became a distinction. We're children of circumcision, you dirty dogs. We've got this and you don't, and we can, you know. But that was a sign of people who claimed to know God. They were given the sign of circumcision, which was a sign of the covenant. The covenant promised them land. You know, you'll have from the river to the sea. God gave that to them from the north to the south. That was given to the people of Israel by covenant with the Lord. Not only were they promised to have a territory, a land, but God also promised to give them money. They were going to be wealthy. They wouldn't starve. They would have enough food, that money to pay for food. They could go out to eat on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays. God said that if you will honor me, I will fill your coffers. Yeah. Man, wouldn't it be awesome? Anyways, he also said that they would have power, not like the power of Shazam, but power as in political power. That they would be the dominant people and that everybody would come to them and they would be able to distribute laws and justice and truth and all that. But not only did God promise them wealth, land, and power. Not only did God give them a covenant with a sign of circumcision, God blessed them with the prophets, the priests, the very word of God. As you look through the history of Israel, you got Moses, right? The man who went up on Mount Sinai and brought the Ten Commandments down, broke them, went back, got another set, came down and showed them again, right? We have Ezekiel. We have Elijah. We have Jeremiah. We have all of the judges. We have all of the keys. These men who stood before the people in the place of God and spoke His truth. The fact that they were given the Word of God in written form was a blessing. The Apostle Paul talks about that. That the Jewish people, the Israelites, they were blessed above all other nations. And in part, it's because they had the very Word of God, the Word of life. So if you start with Abraham and you watch the history of the Israel nation, as you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, down into Egypt, they get Moses, God brings them into the promised land, they drive out all of their enemies, God establishes King David. But throughout that whole history, you see that as a nation, the Israelites, I can say Israelites, I really can, the Israelites turned their back on God. They practiced idolatry. They were immoral people. They slaved the brothers and sisters. They were just, though God had set them aside and gave them such a wonderful place, if you read the Old Testament, you see time and time and time again that they run into sin with wild abandon. These were the very people of God. These were the people that carried the sign of circumcision. And they shamed God. They brought nothing but dishonor to Him. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 36, this is going to be an incredible statement that might be a little bit challenging for some people. Ezekiel 36. We're gonna pick it up in verse 16. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. That was the very land that God had said, this is your land. It was the very land upon which they built the temple, and God said, my name shall rest here. They defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me were like the uncleanness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood they had shed in the land, for their idols with which they had defiled it. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds, I judged them. But when they came to the nations, wherever they came, they profaned my holy name, in that people said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they had to go out of His land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel has profaned among the nations to which they came. So you see, the history that I told of Israel, where God chose Abraham and He blessed the people and promised them and made a covenant with them and gave them the very sign, they rejected and turned to the point where God said, get out. I'm done with you. From now, you will go and you will suffer in other nations. And so enemies came in, they conquered them, took them away. That's why Ezekiel, who were reading his book, that's how come he was in a camp outside of Babylon. Because he was a refugee from Israel, because God had said, your sin is such you must go for now. And wherever they went, guess what they carried with them? The sign of circumcision. The sign that they were the people of the Lord. They had all the songs. They had all the books. They had the little tassels on their garments so everybody could know, I'm a Jew. But they didn't live like it. And it says here, but I had concern for my holy name. Now check this out. Verse 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. And look at verse 26. This is incredible. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. This is a promise of God. This is God saying, I'm going to take that sin-crusted dead heart. I'm going to get rid of it, and I'm going to give you a new heart, a heart of flesh. That's an incredible promise. And there are many people who just rejoice on that, and they miss the rest of what's being said. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to talk about all of it. Woo! Hope you brought a snack, because we're going to be here a while. I'm just kidding. Verse 26, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. And I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit trees and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourself for your iniquities and your abominations. It is not for your sake that I will act, declared the Lord God. Let that be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded in your ways, O house of Israel. Okay, let's take a look at the work of God. Let's take a look at what God's going to do. Number one, this is one of those old chiasms, you know, the way they used to say, where they'd say a point, and then they end with that same point. Then they'd have some stuff in the middle, and they'd have this thing. This is a chiasm. First thing it says is, I'm not doing it for you, I'm doing it for me. God is not doing this for the people of Israel. He's doing it for himself. Let all the world be a liar, even so God will be truthful. I've made a covenant with you that I will be your God and you will be my people. You have blown that up. I'm going to make it happen. Because I am God. Whew. God promises that he's going to gather the nation, gather the Israelites from among the nations, and he's going to cleanse them and bring them home. And at the very center, he's going to give them a new heart. He's going to fill them with his spirit. Then he reminds, I am going to bring you back in the land. You're going to be in the land, and I will cleanse you, and I will feed you in the land. But never forget, it is not for your sake, but for my sake I'm doing this. That's the message that you read here in Ezekiel chapter 36. That because of God's holy name, and because of God's... I mean, he's a jealous God. He is a God of righteousness and holiness, and he's not going to let anybody profane him. He's not going to be mocked by anyone. But here the Israelites have done this throughout their whole history. And that's why God has sent them away. God has scattered them among the nations. But he says, I will be faithful to my covenant. And because of my great name, I signed that document. I made that covenant. And I'm going to bring you back and I'm going to fulfill that covenant. And in so doing, he's going to give them a new heart. He's going to wash them from their uncleanness. You might think that that's a great thing, that once God has given them a new heart, and once God has sprinkled them, will cleanse them from all unrighteousness, once he set their spirit in them, that they're just going to walk around singing, you know, Jehovah Jireh all day long and be wonderful. But I've got a question. God promised to remove their heart of stone and give them a new heart. And I got to be honest with you. That is a blessing beyond what any of us deserve. We are all sinners. We have all turned our way, gone our own evil way. We have all inherited a heart of stone. And those of us that how many times have we chosen to go wrong? But God promised the nation of Israel, not only would he give them a new heart, but he'd fill them with their spirit. Even so, as long as the people of God live on this fallen world, the people of God need to constantly choose to serve the Lord. Just having received a new heart, just having been cleansed, just having the Spirit rest upon you is not enough. You have to choose to serve the Lord. Israel had to choose to serve the Lord. I'm not making this real clear. Israel was going to promise a new heart. Israel promised the Spirit. Israel promised to be clean. Even so, they were going to have to choose to serve the Lord, which is really similar to you and I who are believers today. We're not Israel. We're distinct from them. But when we're saved, God declares us righteous. He justifies us. He judges us and says, you are clean. And we're promised that the Holy Spirit indwells us. But we still face the same challenge of living for the Lord. But I want to take a look at the challenge. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 27. When I read this passage, I want you to listen and see if you can hear any of the same language out of Ezekiel, okay? So, here we go. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Do you hear the same language? The new heart, sprinkled and washed clean? Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Now, let me make this clear. The nation of Israel was promised by God that he would fulfill their covenant, but that's to be done. Today, believers, we have been blessed beyond any reasonable expectation. We've been saved not because we did right by God. We've been saved not because we paid the price for it. We've been saved because God, in his great love and mercy, sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross, who paid the penalty of our sins, And all he asks is that we turn to him in faith. You see, he did it for us. And so when we turn to him in faith, when we look and we say, yes, he is God, I am not. I am a sinner, I deserve his judgment, but I throw myself upon his mercy and I claim him as my God. I will choose God because he is right, holy, and just. When we make that declaration, when we turn away from our sin and we turn towards God, he cleanses us. He gives us a new heart. He sprinkles us and cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. But we're still in this corrupt and broken world. And I don't know about you, but to be honest, sin is still tempting. Can I get an amen? I mean, let's be honest. You know sin is still tempting. And Satan has the best advertising campaign in the world. Now, it's all false. But it looks good, right? You guys remember those Not a Burger burgers, those Impossible burgers? Man, you look at them on the television and you just mouth water. Then you bite into one and you're like, oh my gosh. You know, that's how bad they are. That's what sin is. Sin looks great, yeah. And you get involved in it and all of a sudden you realize, this is a problem. Help me. My friends, we have a new heart. We've been saved, but we still need to live lives that bring honor to God, not shame. Notice what it says. It says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Look, people, God in His Bible, in the very Word of the Lord that He gave to us, says, look, you need to work together. You need to encourage one another. You need to say, hey, buddy, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? And you need to say, yeah, can you help me? And when you see somebody doing the wrong thing, you need to be willing to step up next to them and go, stop doing it. Right? Or wake up, let's go to church. Or whatever. Let us study how to encourage one another onto love and good works. Okay. Having not quite yet beat that horse to death, let's turn to 2 Peter and see if we can get a good wallop or two in here. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I love this passage. I really do. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. We could stop right there and just bask. We could stop right there and just be thankful. We could stop right there and just give praise to God. For He has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If you are saved, no worries. If you are saved, you are blessed. If you have turned to God, He has granted you. You didn't have to fill out the prerequisition forms. I would like all things. No, God grants it to us. Who has called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So the idea is, when we are saved, we've got nothing to worry about. Look, what's the worst thing that could happen to you? Dying? That's graduation ceremony. We're going to glory. God will not turn His back on His own. He has blessed us. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Look, Some people, James says, some people say, I have faith, you have deeds. Show me your faith without your deeds. I'll show you my faith by my deeds. Look, people, we were talking earlier today about the two different types of belief. You know there's two different types of belief, right? There's faith and there's faith. There's one faith that leads to salvation. There's another faith that leads straight to hell. What you talking about, preacher boy? Well, there's the saving faith where you recognize that God is great and glorious and you're a sinner in jeopardy of hellfire. And so you repent of your sin and you turn to Him and beg for mercy and you live your life for Him. Every time you hate sin. You struggle against it. You strive daily to do what God wants you to do. That's saving faith. You want to know what the non-saving type of faith is? Look at Satan. Satan has no doubts who Jesus Christ is. Satan has no doubts who God is. Heck, Satan's been in the throne room of God. Satan wanders around and he knows who the believers are and he tries to crush them. But it doesn't change the way he lives. And so he's destined for eternity of pain and suffering. He absolutely believes who Jesus Christ is. But it doesn't change the way he lives or thinks. There are two types of faith. One that takes you to heaven and one that takes you to hell. So, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. You believe in God, live like it. And virtue with knowledge. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And knowledge with self-control. Consider it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith develops perseverance and self-control with steadfastness. And having done all that you can to resist the devil, stand firm in your faith. And steadfastness with godliness. Pursue the Lord with your whole heart. And godliness with brotherly affection and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Long ago, God chose Abraham, and He said, "In you all the families of the world will be blessed." He said, "I will be your God and you will be my people. I will bless you. Those who curse you, I will curse. Those who bless you, I will bless. And from you will come the Messiah." And you can watch the history of the people of Israel, the children of Abraham, how they lived and they were blessed by God mightily. How they had everything laid out for them and all they had to do was pursue God with their whole heart. And time and time and time again, they turned away. My friends, God has not changed. His truth has not changed. And He says to all, not just the Israelites, He says to all, come unto me. I will give you a new heart. I will wash you from your uncleanness. I will put my spirit upon you. If you've not made that decision, why not? I can guarantee you one thing. Everybody in this room is going to face death. Everybody. You will face the day of death, and after that, the judgment. Get ready, because you never know when it's going to happen. And for those of us that have made that decision, for those of us who have chosen the Lord as our Savior, add to your faith virtue, godliness, righteousness, brotherly love. Pursue God. Because as we pursue God, we will be effective in doing what He's called us to do. Therefore, let us let go of greed and fear. Let us lay aside lust and anger. Pursuing not our agenda of wealth and prosperity, but fulfilling our purpose of serving God and reaching the lost. Let's pray.